This is Morgan Beatty speaking for Alka-Seltzer, bringing you News of the World Night Special. Tonight, Washington, voluntary controls versus rationing. The volunteers win for now. London, Molotov dodges Marshall's right, prolongs disagreement. Hollywood, preview of California, the hotbed of 1948. San Francisco, Manifest Destiny, 1947 model on parade. Those are the headlines. I'll be back in a moment with News of the World.
Someone has said that the best weight-reducing exercise is to place both hands firmly on the edge of the dinner table and push back. Yeah, you might try that exercise when the second helping's offered. It's a good exercise for the willpower, too. But, of course, food does taste mighty good these crisp December evenings, so I can understand how one might occasionally eat a little more than he should, and that sometimes leads to acid indigestion. And acid indigestion calls for Alka-Seltzer. Yes, for acid indigestion, you'll find it wise to alkalize with Alka-Seltzer. Dissolve one or two Alka-Seltzer tablets in a glass of water, then drink the sparkling, pleasant-tasting solution this makes. See how quickly Alka-Seltzer brings comfort from discomfort, how speedily it helps reduce excess gastric acidity. You'll like Alka-Seltzer's tangy, refreshing taste, and you'll like the way it can help you feel better fast. Now, how about that supply of Alka-Seltzer at your house? Are your tablets down to four? Well, remember, that's the time to buy some more. And buy an extra package, too. That's the wisest thing to do. Now, Alka-Seltzer brings you the noted commentator, author, and reporter, Morgan Beatty.
Tonight's first assignment for News of the World is a report on today in history, not by headlines, but rather by the men and movements who make headlines tick. Most of us who read current history know these men only by name and what they say in their official speeches. We don't realize always that behind the headline there's experience, heartache, vision, perhaps emotion. Today the White House had an unusual visitor, a man who has spent much of his life in the United States Senate, a Republican lawyer turned statesman, Warren Austin of Vermont. Mr. Austin is the first United States delegate to the United Nations. He called on the president, mostly, he said, just to pay a social visit to the commander-in-chief. When he came out smiling, the News of the World White House reporter, Frank Burkholzer, thought it was a good time to ask a few questions about United Nations headlines, the ones we've been reading, and the Foreign Ministers' Conference in London, why we have so many differences with the Russians, and so on. The senator said he didn't have a headline in his system, no news. Only he thought maybe from experience he could suggest the why of things so far. For example, he said, I don't think the present differences between Russia and the United States are differences between communism and democracy at all. Not when you look back into history. Some nations, particularly Oriental nations, have never practiced majority rule as we know it. They don't think really that they should be bound by majority rule. Russia, for example, hence the veto and so on. We unconsciously here in America, through centuries, have built up respect for majority rule. You may remember before the war, Congress passed the wartime draft by a single vote. Did the minority say, we won't play? No, they didn't. Time, said Mr. Austin, will develop an improvement in relations. The president had another visitor today, too, an old-timer we haven't seen in these parts for a long time. Prentice Brown, former senator from Michigan turned businessman. He's chairman of the Detroit Edison Company. As a former chief of OPA, the very first one, he has some strong points to make about controls and inflation today. Voluntary controls, he still thinks, are not quite enough to keep prices on an even keel. But you can't overlook some facts about voluntary methods in Mr. Brown's view. Take the Luckman Save the Food program with its poultryless Thursday, the angle that went sort of haywire. Sure, the program left too many live chickens around, and they were consuming a lot of grain. But the most significant thing to Mr. Brown, the real point to the man who first took it on the chin in OPA, was the impact of voluntary rationing on the poultry industry. It showed that people will go a long way to cooperate voluntarily with their own government, longer perhaps than they will when controls become too severe. There's a story from Britain tonight on that score, incidentally. The Labour government, the authors of super austerity controls to make both government ends meet in the economic dollar crisis, tonight appointed a special board of three persons to check up on the black market, to find out how steers and hogs are bypassing the government by the thousands to reach thousands of tables, how restaurants have a shadow menu, one with shepherd's pie, rabbit stew, pigeon, and so on, for a dollar, another for the man who winks and pays $4 for some wine. If he does, he's rewarded with a beefsteak that comes out of nowhere, as it were. Too much control is worse than too little. Finding the balance is the big problem. Tonight in Washington, freshman senators are meeting privately to discuss the four-point voluntary price control system proposed today by the Republican High Command. That's the plan based on industry-wide agreements to lower prices, but no compulsory controls. But let's go back now to the way the big four powers are not getting on with each other and the way other powers are not getting on with each other in the Middle East. Here's Merrill Muller in London.
Experts of the Council of Foreign Ministers tonight studied a sensational report published in tomorrow's Daily Mail to the effect that Molotov is preparing a compromise gesture on reparations to prevent a stalemate on Germany this winter. According to the diplomatic correspondent of the Mail, who does not name his informant, Molotov has his own Soviet delegation busy drafting a plan for a moratorium of 3 to 5 years on German reparation payments to Russia. This surprise, says the Mail, will be presented shortly as a move to maintain the present session of the Council as long as possible. The front page article adds that although Molotov is credited with keeping the initiative at this conference, the demands of Mr. Marshall are forcing his hand. The Russian delegation could not be reached for comment on this report tonight. The American and British delegations, however, were skeptical. One high American spokesman pointed out to me that such a plan would cost Russia nearly $1 billion a year as the combined loss of reparations she is now taking from the eastern zone of Germany and the cost of helping maintain the western zones under German unity. Meanwhile, as the House of Commons gets set for its Palestine debate tomorrow, I can report exclusively to News of the World tonight that the British cabinet has just instructed its authorities in the Middle East to put Jewish immigration from Cyprus to Palestine on the same priority as the evacuation of British forces. This means that those tragic refugees, once force-landed in Cyprus from illegal ships, will now be rushed back to the Holy Land before August 1st in British vessels. They are at last counted in the population of their promised land. This is Merrill Muller in London.
Now, back home, let's go west. Our government is doing a lot of hinting to us these days about our destiny, world leadership. One such hint is in the form of a luxury liner. We'll get that story in a few moments from San Francisco. But first, a 1948 political preview of that political hotspot called California from a strange angle. Here's John Storm in Hollywood.
A Southern California justice of the peace has accomplished at a misdemeanor trial what congressmen were unable to do with Hollywood writers at a Washington hearing. Justice Kenneth White ruled that witnesses, state's witnesses, shall answer the question, "Are you a member of the Communist Party?" and no speeches. Three prosecution witnesses have answered so far with a resounding no. The witnesses were appearing in the so-called raid trial of 14 American Legionnaires and six newspapermen at nearby Glendale. The 20 men are accused of disrupting a Democratic Club meeting in the little town of La Crescenta. The witnesses, now under fire themselves as to their political leanings, have pointed the finger at Orville Collins, commander of Glendale Legion Post 127, and at H.C. Berkheimer, a Glendale publisher, as the invaders. They say the raiders wore Legion overseas caps, that they told the gathering to break up because we're well aware of your activities, to forget this meeting and go home, thanking God you live in the United States. That meeting was held in November at the home of Hugh Hardiman, retired orange grower. Hardiman himself was asked by the defense whether or not he is a communist. Hardiman replied, "It is immaterial and impertinent. But if it interests you, I am not." He and four others admit membership in the Progressive Citizens of America. They say the raiders objected to a PCA program to overthrow the 80th Congress with the charge, "This is an attempt to overthrow our government." This is John Storm in Hollywood. Now to Ralph Howard, aboard the SS President Cleveland, off the Pacific Coast.
I'm speaking from the radio room of America's newest luxury liner, the SS President Cleveland. Since dawn this morning, we've been off the California coast putting this ship through its paces. We've twisted and turned so much that even the seagulls that follow the ship are dizzy. More than 70 engineers, technicians, and government observers are aboard the Cleveland on this its final trial run. And today, they've tested everything aboard ship, including the whistle. Early this afternoon, we were 90 miles out of San Francisco, plowing through the seas at full speed. Suddenly, the ship's two giant propellers, which were turning over at a rate of 110 revolutions per minute, were thrown into reverse. In 2 minutes flat, this 23,000-ton liner was backing into its former wake, full speed astern. It was then that the seagulls became bewildered. At another point during the day, the ship heeled to starboard as the skipper put her into a full circle turn at top speed. All this time, in fact all day, technicians scurried about with stopwatches, charts, and forms, noting the liner's every behavior. Elsewhere, workmen are putting on the last touches and making last-minute adjustments. The next time she heads out through the Golden Gate, she'll be on her way to Hong Kong. On our last power run, some 80 miles out, the Cleveland hit heavy ground swells. Although the engineers had talked of stability and the 700 tons of fixed ballast built into the ship to keep her steady under all conditions, despite all this, there were noticeably fewer technicians at dinner this evening. This is Ralph Howard, aboard the President Cleveland, off the Pacific Coast.
Now, around the world in a minute and a half by Dateline. A News of the World exclusive from NBC correspondent John Donovan in Jerusalem. The mobilization of Arabs for their holy war against the Jews is going on quietly. Two cooks at my hotel in Jerusalem, says Mr. Donovan, have notified the management they're quitting their jobs to go to Lebanon for training with the Arab forces, and that is one a few of many. The mobilization of the Jews for Jewish military forces is proceeding more openly and faster. In many Jewish cafes and restaurants, older proprietors are tending bars, waiting on tables, because the younger men have departed for training. The death toll in the Holy Land in 10 days of guerrilla warfare is 131 persons. Fort Worth, Texas, Donald M. Nelson told the world tonight why he quit as president of the Society of Independent Motion Picture Producers. He's going to help develop an electrical chemical process for the preservation of food. He says it's going to revolutionize the food industry. It will do what freezing now does, only without freezing. Mexico will be the proving ground. Denver, Colorado. The woman who died 1,000 deaths in the last 50 years is now actually dead. She's Mrs. Bertha Baldwin, and she died of natural causes in Presbyterian Hospital here of old age. At the turn of the century, she worked with her daredevil husband. She sewed his balloons for balloon ascensions and watched him cross the Boulder Canyon on a tight wire. Each time he risked his life, she said, it was torture. She died 1,000 times. Oddly enough, her husband survives her. And that's what happened around the world today.
Morgan Beatty will return with some more late news. If working in a stuffy office or store sometimes causes a headache, for prompt relief, try Alka-Seltzer. Since Alka-Seltzer is completely dissolved before you take it, it's analgesics ready to go right to work. And because of its effervescent base, Alka-Seltzer gets there faster, gives relief quickly. Always keep Alka-Seltzer handy. Never be without it in your home.
When you buy vitamins, get the greatest value for your money. Listen.
Penny for penny, you get more milligrams of vitamins when you buy one-a-day brand multiple vitamins.
Yes, penny for penny, one-a-day brand multiples give you more milligrams of vitamins than any other nationally known brand of multiple vitamins sold by your druggist. Each one-a-day brand multiple capsule contains all the vitamins for which requirements have been established in human nutrition. Dependable for strength, purity, quality, and...
Penny for penny. You get more milligrams of vitamins when you buy one-a-day brand multiple vitamins. Now, here again is Morgan Beatty.
And here are signs of our times. New Haven, Connecticut. It's an old newspaper clipping that doesn't do somebody good. Remember that September story, for example, about the Chicago husband who threw the pork chops in his wife's face because he was tired of pork chops? Well, it's gone to England, that story, and come back in a new dress to the New Haven Register with this letter from a rationed Englishman. I am writing you, says A.J. Target of Middlesex, as I thought you would be interested in a rather strange coincidence. Today my wife called on our butcher and bought some bones for stewing. When my wife reached home, we found that the parcel was wrapped in a double page of your newspaper dated Sunday, September 28th. We were amused at the enclosed cutting from page 19. Husband throws pork chops. We haven't seen pork chops for years. Washington, Eggless Thursday didn't spell a thing to the nation's hens. Egg production in November was the largest on record for that month. London, the House of Commons approved tonight a bill to curb the powers of the House of Lords by an overwhelming vote, but not before this passage in arms and debate. Said the Labor Home Secretary, it's a Christmas present for democracy. Replied the Conservatives, what the country wants as a Christmas present is more food, better administration. And that, until tomorrow at this same time, is News of the World. This is Morgan Beatty speaking for Alka-Seltzer, saying goodbye from Washington.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.